You know, the story of the wise men travelling to meet the baby Jesus has always had enormous appeal. They have been portrayed many thousands of times, from mosaics, like that one, to Christmas cards, and most styles and formats in between. In fact, I bought a few of the Christmas cards. We've got one with three kings, or wise men. Oh, look, another three. And, of course, a typical one with a wise man, just the one this time, and a shepherd. The one up there, the image I'm using this morning, is a 6th century Byzantine mosaic that can be found, apparently, in the Basilica of Saint Apollinare Nuovo in Ravenna. Dig the exotic leggings they're wearing. And who said they were new idea? Now, let's put aside then this morning the fact that nowhere in the Bible does it mention how many wise men there were, or the number of gifts they brought with them. In fact, if we head to the border between Syria and Turkey, there's a tradition in that area that there were 12 wise men, or perhaps it was 11 wise men. And the names of at least 11 of them were known, and it even includes Artaban. And as for coming from the east, well, in Syria, they are described as coming from the land of silk called Shur, which, of course, could be China. So let's put those things aside and focus on what the wise men saw and understood on that journey of theirs. I want us this morning to think about their open-mindedness and their understanding of events. You know, throughout the ages and even to today, many people have differentiated between what they want to see and what is there for them to clearly see. We use certain expressions, don't we? For instance, when we want to ignore an event or ignore a person or ignore something that we don't understand, we say we turn a blind eye. We say we look the other way, or we walk on the opposite side, as the priest and the Levite did. We even have the expression, don't we, doing a Nelson. A good many people have a don't get involved attitude. It's nothing to do with me. People have the ability to put in place a mental block for whatever reason. For instance, they don't understand what is going on, or they don't want to understand what is going on, or they don't like or even agree with what is going on. The result of that then is that many people travel through their life on their own journeys without being affected by what is going on around them. Something we call tunnel or blinkered vision. Only seeing what they want to see and ignoring the rest. And on that journey, some of these people lived in their own self-contained and self-centered worlds with their own set visions, focusing on their own goals, living, in fact, in a prison of their own making where they hold the key, ignoring, or worse still, not caring about the world or humanity. So today, as you know, we are celebrating the Feast of Epiphany. And I'm sure you know that Epiphany means to reveal or show in the same sense as the rising sun heralds the world coming out of the darkness. For in that dawning comes all the hopes and joys and relief that a new day can bring. But the Epiphany we are talking about this morning then is the realisation of exactly what happened at Christmas. That dramatic event where the true light shone again on the world, just like the first light brought God's creation out of the darkness. And this new night, you know, shines so brightly that people can see and discover all about the birth of the Christ child, of God on earth, and realise the huge significance of that event, should they open their eyes. Matthew then tells us of the men who came from the east, Magi, men of vision and wisdom who use their skills in their everyday lives. It's supposed that these men, at the very least, were astrologers. They were people who studied the stars and the heavens. They were certainly very open-minded. They certainly had inquisitive natures, and they could put their great knowledge to use. Isn't it interesting, then, that God chose them, that God guided them to the place where Jesus was born? And by using the Magi, God was showing to us and to the world that Jesus was not just the King of the Jews, but Jesus was the King of the whole world, that Jesus had come for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And so with very little to go on, apart from the knowledge of ancient Jewish writings, they saw the vision, and they had the sense to see what was happening, that a new era was dawning, an age of hope and light. And so they set out on a journey of discovery to find and to worship the new king. And like many people today, the wise men didn't ignore what they could see. They didn't live in their own little world. You know, I wonder how many people today would be willing to set out on such a perilous journey in search of God. I suspect there is an expectation today that God will always come looking for his children to explain himself to them. That God has to prove to people today who he is, and then for him to give out gifts. Is that what people really expect? Surely the wise seek knowledge and wisdom. And as Christians, that is what we do. We seek Jesus today for who he is, our Saviour. And of equal importance, we help others in their search for the truth about Jesus. And so the wise men travelled a perilous journey of following a star, a journey to greet the birth of Christ and hail the coming of God's creative love in human form. Now let me digress for a moment. You may know that there have been many opinions, many views, many discussions to explain the Star of Bethlehem. They range from it was a comet to it was a conjunction of the planets. Saturn and Jupiter are usually mentioned as they represent kingship and Judaism. And a shooting star, might as well have them all in the equation. But I want to have my four penny worth this morning. So first of all, we're talking about an action brought about by God. So if we believe in the miracle of the incarnation, and if we believe in the miracle of the resurrection, not to mention the other miracles, then let's ask ourselves, what reason is there to doubt? Then let's ask ourselves, what reason is there to doubt why God should not have created a special star to sign the arrival of his son? Perhaps that's what Augustine was getting at when he wrote, Christ was not born because the star shone forth, but it shone forth because Christ was born. However, whatever the nature of the star, the wise men had the vision to follow it. Now, in contrast to these wise men, we have the Jewish scholars, knowledgeable in their own prophecies, the prophecies we heard about in Isaiah, and the prophecy that can be found in Micah about the one of woman born who will come from Bethlehem and whose origin is old, is of the ancient days, the one who shall lead God's people back to him. Were then the Jewish scholars blinkered to the fact that their new king was being born? All the signs were there, all the links, all the bridges built back to the past. They even knew where the Messiah was to be born, and yet they did nothing. They didn't lift a sandal, not one step. They failed to recognise the signs. Or perhaps they just didn't want to see that Jesus was the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy, that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Were they expecting a knight in shining armour to lead the way, rather than a baby born in a stable? And the wise men came, and they worshipped Jesus and gave him the gifts they had bought. Gold for a king, frankincense, a gift to the ultimate priest, the one who was to make the final reconciliation between God and humanity, and myrrh used to embalm the dead. And in those gifts, we can see who Jesus is. We can see what he came to do, and we can see what it would cost him. And if we are wise people, open-eyed and unblinkered, we should bow in wonder before a God who could love his people, whether Jew or Gentile, that much. But sometimes we can get so interested in the gifts that we forget who led the Magi to Jesus in the first place. It was God who called the Magi to travel to the stable. God welcoming all the nations of the earth. God saying that whatever country people come from, whatever people look like, whatever language they speak, he is there for each and every one of them. He is the God of everyone, and he welcomes everyone. Everyone who seeks the truth and the light can know God. People only need to look, and they will find him. Remove the blinkers, folks, and he is there. Come out of the darkness and into the light. Open the doors of the self-imposed prisons, and all will be revealed by the God of love. And so the wise men worshipped Jesus for who he was, the God incarnate, the Saviour. And that today is still the essence of true worship. We must be prepared to honour Christ for who he is and be willing, like the wise men, to give him what is valuable to us, our time, our whole selves, in his course. For he will show us the way forward if we look for it. We worship God, you know, because he is the perfect, just and almighty creator of the universe, worthy of the best we have. And after worshipping, God told the wise men to leave by a different route to avoid Herod. Herod, who was self-centered, arrogant and evil. Herod, who reigned by terror. And here we find another message for us. A message that says in the finding of Jesus, our lives will take a different direction. One that is responsive and obedient to God's word. A message that says nothing may ever be the same again. A message that says we will need to make sacrifices. You know, isn't it amazing the faith shown, the inspired insight and wholehearted search of those wise men? I think it's one of the surprises we find in the Gospels. But then our God is the God of surprises. We cannot predict God's reactions, but what we can have is faith in God. And let him lead us on our journey. For those whose eyes have been opened, for those who truly believe, for those who've placed Jesus at the centre of their lives, it is their, or should I say, it is our responsibility to help others to open their eyes to the truth, to help others to have their own epiphany, to the realisation that Jesus is our Saviour. You know, many prophecies were fulfilled with the birth of Christ. And of course, we long for the fulfilment of all God's promises. But we should be patient. We should keep our eyes open. For God is in control, and he weaves together all our lives into his plan. A plan of salvation that spans over the millennia. He has revealed the truth that salvation is for all, that we can all share in the light of the new era. This morning and every morning, let us allow God in faith to lead us into the light of the promise. where we can wonder at his creation and his self-sacrifice and total love for us. And so, folks, let hope be our guiding star on that journey of truth and light. Amen.